the oracles of God.
And that's what I intend to do on this evening. Now, my lesson is entitled Striving to Grow in Faith. Striving to grow in faith. Let us pray. The gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing us another chance to come out and worship you in spirit and according to your truth. Dear Father, we pray that something we said that would cause someone to think about you and get their life right before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Dear Father, thank you for your son who gave his life a ransom for many. It is in his name that we offer up this prayer. Amen. Now, I'm going to briefly touch on these 3 points, and then we're going to get to striving to grow in faith. I'm going to talk about salvation. I'm going to talk about translation, and then we're going to talk about transformation. Salvation, translation, and then transformation. So let's talk a little bit now about salvation. Question: what if it cost a fee to go to heaven? How much would that be? Hundreds, thousands, millions? What if it would cost $50 million and you're in? How many of us would make it? I wouldn't stand a chance. What if the cost had to be, you had to be highly educated, have at least 2 PhDs? Again, I wouldn't stand a chance. What if God said, hey, you, I'm talking to you, just you. You need to get your life together. I see what you're doing. You're caught up in sin. You're fornicating. You're drunken. You're having a bad time doing whatever it is that you're doing. I need you to clean up your life, and then you can come to me. What if that was the case? See, I tried to do that, but I had it backwards. I was trying to get my life together and come to God. How many of you know you can't get your life together and come to God? You have to come to God to get your life together. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad God didn't put salvation so far out of reach that only a few people would be able to get it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all women, all men, everywhere to be saved. But saved from what? I don't know, that's an elementary question in the Church of Christ, but I had to ask that question because I wanted to give my definition. I believe salvation is the deliverance by the grace of God from eternal punishment for sin, which is granted to those who accept with faith God's conditions by way of obedience to the doctrine of Christ. Again, that's deliverance by the grace of God from eternal punishment for sin, which is granted to those who accept with faith God's conditions by way of obedience to the doctrine of Christ. This just basically says if you obey Christ, heaven is the reward. Hebrews 5, 8, 9 says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Basically, you obey him, salvation is yours. If that is true, the opposite of that is true as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reward for those who obey the gospel. And there's a reward for those who do not obey the gospel. The conditions of salvation to be obeyed are to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I believe that the Bible teaches there are at least 3 phases to salvation. At least 3. The first 2, salvation and translation, are what I like to call baby steps. They're the baby steps. Why? They're the baby steps on the road to salvation. The reason being is that God didn't make salvation complicated. Understand? He made this thing simple. If it had been complicated, like I said before, I wouldn't stand a chance. However, these 2 steps, as simple as they are extremely vital to the process, but yet relatively easy to accomplish. The plan of salvation begins with hearing the word, Romans 10, 17, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died, he was buried, and he rose again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And then you must believe what you heard, Hebrews 11, 6, Mark 16, 16. And after you must have a willing heart to repent, Luke 13, 3 and 5, of the things that you're doing that are against the will of God. Once you've done that, you make a public confession acknowledging that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. Then be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. After you've done that, you have just started your Christian journey. But then that's just that. You just started. That's the beginning. This is a journey. We got to stay on this journey. That's the first part. The second part, the translation process, is even more simpler than that, because we don't do that. We don't have anything to do with the translation. I can't add you. Mama can't add you. Only God can add you to his church. Am I right about it? Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord does all the work here. We don't do anything. In Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, who, that's God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The Greek word for translation here is methistemi. Very simply, it means to remove from one place to another. But what we take notice here is that we don't do the translating. God does that. Thank God he didn't leave it up to us to decide who gets to go to heaven. Aren't you glad that no one decides who's worthy or who's undeserving of heaven? I'm so glad. If we do our part, then surely God will do his part. As you can see, the first two elements of salvation are really quite simple. Salvation, then translation. Now, it's this third part that's going to cost something. It's the part that requires the most effort, the most work. The reason being is this. There's going to be some opposition to this transformation process. It's not going to be a cakewalk. We are in a fight to the death. A fight with Satan. Like it or not, know it or not, we are in a battle, and the battlefield is the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And there are three wills at work. If you don't know it or not, there are three wills at work. God's will, Satan's will, and man's will. All three of these wills at the same time are tugging at us for power. They're tugging at us to get control and to get dominance in our lives. And one of them is going to be more dominant than the other, more powerful, winning out by squeezing out the other two. The only question is, which one will it be? Which one is it going to be? Is it going to be what God would have us to do? Or will it be what Satan is trying to get us to do? Or will it be what our flesh wants us to do? See, Paul was dealing with this personally over in Romans 7:13 and following. Over there, I can't really dig into that passage, but if Paul, who met Christ on the road to Damascus, he met Christ. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. Paul had an apostolic measure of the Holy Spirit, and he struggled with this. If he struggled with this, I sure enough gonna have trouble. Sure enough ain't a word. Surely I will have trouble. Surely I will have trouble with this. But the good news here is that we have help. We got some help in this thing. We're not alone. We got help to fight. Our help, never leave us alone, is always there right by my side. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our counselor. Anytime and every time we need the Holy Spirit is always there. John 14:15-17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see or him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I don't know about you, but these are some of the most comforting words in scriptures to know. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, the Holy Spirit is always present and working to help us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our parakletos. Now, this word parakletos means an aid, an assistant, a helper. The prefix para means up close, and personal, real intimate, right there alongside me and has my back at all times. Now, kletos means helper. So parakletos, it also means an intercessor or an advocate to stand on our behalf before the Father, praying for our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Romans 8, 6 through 27. The Holy Spirit also helps us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. We have a better chance not to conform if we are transformed. Everybody say transformed.
Transformed.
This is where we want to be. This is where God wants us to be. This is all done in the heart by the renewing of the mind. The Greek word for renewing is anakahinosis. Anakahinosis. The word literally means a renewal, a renovation, a complete change for the better. The word of God renovates. I love that. It renovates. I like to watch the shows where they take an old house and they renovate that house. They take it from trashy and it ends up being classy. Or they'll take a landscape and they'll take it from trashy and then do all their different things to it. And now it's classy. And that's what the word of God do. The word of God will take you and it will clean you up. Make you new again. Do you have anything that you want to be made new again?
Yeah.
I've seen the power of the word of God make my life new. I've seen the power of the word of God make Vincent's life new. I'm sure you've all seen the power of the word of God make someone new. It may even be yourself.
Yeah.
This is the concept that Nicodemus had trouble with over in John chapter 3, where Jesus was telling him, you must be born again.
Yes, sir.
He was struggling with that. He said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old?
Yeah.
Jesus was talking about baptism and a change of thinking.
Yeah.
That's what he couldn't get. Baptism and a change of thinking. The spirit man is to be born again, meaning to be renewed from above, and then changing my thinking to being Christ-like. A change to Christ-like thinking produces a change to a Christ-like heart, which produces a change to Christ-like actions. Amen? Transformation, it has to come about in my life. If I'm not transformed, I'm in this for nothing. It has to come about in my life. And in order to be born again, I have to grow in faith.
Yes.
Faith must be growing. And to grow in faith is going to take some striving. That's where the striving comes in at.
Yes.
It's going to take some striving. Becoming wiser, kind of stronger will require us to strive to grow in faith.
Yes.
If I'm going to do just that, it's going to have to take some more effort on my part as I go forward. By reasoning alone, we have to think that wiser, kinder, stronger would imply that we're somewhat already wise, kind, and strong. Does that make sense? But for some reason, if anyone is lacking any one or all three, there's Bible to help that. In James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, if any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, he said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Paul also wrote to the church in Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For the rest of the year, we want to take wiser, kind of stronger to the next level. We're going to do that by continuing to grow in faith. So what's the point? I said all of that. What's the point? The point of the matter is, you have to know to grow. You have to grow to know. This is going to be where there's no growth, there's no knowledge. Where there's no knowledge, there's no growth. I have to constantly, constantly be growing in the Word, constantly acquiring biblical, spiritual knowledge. But this begs the obvious question. How do I do this? Bible study. Bible study. On a daily basis. I promise you, get into the Word will get into you. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It doesn't say, so then faith comes by heard. It's hearing, a continuous abiding state, constantly hearing. This could also be done with online study, listening to audio Bible, listening to sermons, anything to keep the Word of God in the forefront of our minds. Now, the challenge is this. There are only 24 hours in a day. No matter where you go, and only 24 hours in a day. Everybody everywhere only has 24 hours. And the situation is this. Inside of those 24 hours, We got commitments. We have commitments. If you're a student, you have school. And if you have any extracurricular activities, you got to commit yourself to that after school. But then if you're not a student in school, then you probably have work to do. You can't see that, but that's got a plate. You got to eat. You got to sleep. And you have to work. Those are commitments. That's going to take up a big chunk of the day. And after that, in addition to that, we have distractions. Distractions. This is where we get caught up. See, I'm not saying that TV is all bad, but all TV is not good. You understand? All TV is not good. And the same thing with friends and family. When it comes to them, you got to know who's help and who's harm. You know, you need to know who you can count on and who you need to count out. Sometimes you got to take a look at that. I'm just saying, if they're not helping you get to heaven, then they're probably holding you back. Man. Same thing with social media. Social media is dangerous. And those cell phones going to stop a lot of people from getting to heaven. Yeah, I do a lot of walking around in this church, and I see a lot of people on Facebook. Facebook, what is Facebook doing in the Church of Christ? But it's here. We can leave worship without getting out of our seat. We come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Our spirit should be here. There's a whole lot in that lesson. So, I asked the question, which one will it be? With God's will, Satan's will, or man's will? Because all of them are pushing and tugging and pulling, trying to get control of our lives. Well, the one is going to be is the one we give the strongest attention to. We talked about there's only 24 hours in a day, and we have commitments and distractions. A major factor in determining our growth in faith is going to be free time. What do we do with our free time? Where does it go? If you don't tell it where to go, you always wonder where it went. I'm not saying you can only devote your time to Bible study, but sometimes we could be studying the Bible instead of this or that. I mean, it doesn't have to be TV. Whatever your TV is, plug that in there. It could be anything. People do a whole lot of different things, but y'all get the point. I'm going to share with you what I had to do. This is what I had to do. It may not be what you have to do. You do what you have to do, but this is what I had to do. I had to prioritize. I had to prioritize. I had to put God first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. I had to put him first. Why is that? Deuteronomy 5:7. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That hit home with me. Then I set some goals. I wanted to know about David. I wanted to know about Paul. I wanted to know more about the church of Ephesus. I just put goals in place. You got to have a goal. You don't have a target. You can't hit a target you can't see. All of this can be done if we develop a desire to grow in faith. I wanted to know more about what God wants me to know in order to do better with my life. We can all strive to grow in faith. The lesson is yours. Striving to grow in faith. That's what we're doing, striving to grow in faith. I'm going to leave you with this thought. The kind of faith to become wiser, kind of stronger Christians comes from a diligent effort to know God's word. And how it applies to our lives, I encourage us to keep striving to grow in faith. Paul told the church in Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you are not a Christian and you are here, it is our desire and God's desire that you become a Christian. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the church you can read about in the Bible. We come by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the remission of your sins. Then lead a life that's faithful unto Christ. When Jesus comes, he'll give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. If you have anything in your life that you want to get right with God, please come down and we'll pray. The Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, please come as we stand and sing.